Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Skype for Business Raving Fan session. Thanks so much for starting your day with us at Ignite today. Hope everyone has their coffee and is all ready to go here. So today, our goal is to share with you concepts and real-world customer success stories on rolling out Skype for Business and adopting it within your organization. Now, over the years, we've been doing this for a while, and we've landed on some special sauce, some magic around how you can connect with your end users and get them onboarded to Skype for Business. And I use that term magic specifically because I really do believe that our product can transform the way that people work together. You know, that first time that a user connects with somebody across the globe with video automatically to get their job done instead of having to take a flight to go see them, when they can reach out and communicate with somebody immediately to get their job done, that's a magical experience. And when you can help an end user actualize that, to get them so excited about the product that they cannot live without it, is a really special experience. It's what we call internally an aha moment. When that end user realizes that, oh my gosh, I can't live without Skype for Business. I love it. I can't believe I did my job earlier without this. And I want to share that with others and build upon that. That's what we're here about to talk about today. And that's what our team focuses on. So my name is Mike Hollinshead. I'm the program manager lead for the customer engagement and adoption team within Skype for Business. And our goal is to provide you all with the tools and resources needed to successfully adopt Skype for Business within your organization. And one of the coolest things about my job is that I get to work with customers almost every day. We get to collaborate together. I get to see how they take the base materials that we take and convert them to their culture, to their needs, to be successful. And so we're looking forward to sharing some of that today with you. So today's presentation is really going to be focused on the end user journey. When they enter the workplace, they may have never used Skype for Business before, and how you all can leverage some of the tools and approaches that we've seen successful and turn those folks into those raving fans that we talked about. One of the things that we've done as well is we're listening to your feedback, and we've heard in the past that you really want real scenarios. What have we done with our customers that have been proven successful? So you'll see that woven into today's presentation, and we specifically spend time on that, so you get some of that, as well as ending the presentation with Air Canada's IT solutions manager, Graham Bent, who's here to join us. And he'll be talking through their rollout of Skype for Business, and we'll spend some time deconstructing that so you can dig your teeth into some real-world examples and even further. So with that, I'd like to introduce Nick Suter to you all. He's a PM on my team who drives adoption. And Nick, come on up.
Cool. Thanks, Mike. All right. I think I'm on. Cool. Good morning, everybody. Excited to be here. We get to share with you guys what we do, and that's exciting because we love what we do. Like Mike talked about, we love to talk to people, real people. We like to talk to users and discover new and exciting ways to use our product. So for the next, 60 minutes or so, I want to be your guide on this journey into the world of adoption, right? We think of adoption a little bit differently on our team. I hope that comes through in the presentation that we have today. And again, today is all about creating that raving fan within the organization, somebody who just can't live without the product. So we kind of start at the beginning, right? I think most of us have been here before. We sit with our users. Sometimes we don't even talk face to face. We'll send an email and we'll talk to them about the product that we are about to roll out. We'll talk to them about Skype for Business. We explain to them why we think it's important. We explain to them the features that we really like. We explain to them why the organization has invested in this. Have we taken the next step to just, if you're talking face to face or if you send an email, have you ever actually gone out and looked at your users as you're giving them this talk? Have we looked at their face? Is this what they look like? Are they this excited to actually get this product? Right? See, the one thing we don't really think of, and the one thing that we've noticed throughout the years, is that the conversation is very skewed in one direction. We talk about us. We talk about why we like the product and why we feel the product is great and what we think the user is going to get out of the product. It's hard for a user to understand and to really get behind a product when they don't see how it helps them and how it benefits them. And we want to change that dynamic, right? We want to look at users who are excited for the product, come in and use the product every day, who evangelize our product. You know, we want people to come in, use Skype for Business, and they have that emotional experience. And they're like, ah, oh, I got it. It's awesome. This thing helps me do my job. And it's easy to use. And I can do so much more with it. We think about it in terms of just, you know, the pure excitement, this whole concept of a raving fan. You know, there's few things in life like that last day of school. You know, if you can think back, that last day of school and the promise of summer and being let out and going to see your friends and just enjoying time and not having to do homework or school or anything. As adults, we don't get that feeling very often. But Skype for Business can actually give you that feeling back, right? Imagine you've worked for months on a deal with a client who you've never actually visited. You just have phone conversations. You've seen them over video, but you've never shook their hand. You've never taken them out for drinks. But Skype for Business connects you. Maybe they're all the way across the country. Maybe they're in a different country. And we connect you to that person so you can close that deal. Now, we don't necessarily expect you to jump up on the table like this guy and start dancing. Awesome if you do, but be careful. But we want you to have that experience, and we want your users to have that experience so they can start to change the culture within your organization, and they can be the change agents and not us. A lot of times, users don't even listen to us, but they'll listen to other users. So we talk about this concept of a raving fan, and becoming a raving fan is really about adoption, right? So let's take a step back and let's look at adoption for a little bit. I'll give you an example. Text messaging. I'm very guilty of this. 5 years ago, I didn't text message anyone. Can you guys remember a time when text messaging to you was just a new kind of frill, kind of feature, didn't really use it, right? But over the years, text messaging has become a primary means of communication for people. Dinner tables look like this, right? People rarely even talk to each other anymore. You'd rather send a text message. Do you find yourself texting at the table at dinner, just finishing up something for work, finishing up a conversation with a colleague or a friend? You might even be texting your wife who's sitting right next to you. I actually have a friend who did that. Didn't end well. So let's talk a little bit about like what adoption is, right? We see adoption at Microsoft when we think of Skype for Business as the deep, habitual use, deep utilization, daily usage of Skype for Business, right? The daily, habitual use, and deep utilization of Skype for Business. And now we have the 70%, right? So if we see this as this daily usage, 70%'s got to be something good, right? And if anybody knows what comes after this, you're much smarter than I, because I just learned this a couple months ago, right? So 70%, big number. That is literally the change initiative failure rate. So think about that. 70% of change initiatives within organizations fail to accomplish their goals. 70%. In this room, 70% of us will have a change initiative around Skype for Business, and it won't work. So when we think about adoption, I think we need to change the narrative just a little bit, right? Adoption is not an afterthought. With a 70% failure rate, it can't be. Adoption is something that has to be foundational. When you're thinking through your technical deployment, we have to think about adoption and how users are going to use this once we launch the product. When you're building that foundation, right, what are the walls going to look like that we put on top of that? What's the flooring going to look like? What's the usage going to look like inside of our house, right? We need to think through these things prior to even launching the product. It's very important. And if we think this way, we're going to see more adoption. So Mike has talked, we've done this for years. We've seen a lot of customers try to roll out Skype for Business. And one thing that we've seen is that your rollout and your strategy directly affects the rate of change within your organization. You know, so if you look at the conventional rollout and the way we usually look at rolling out products, there's this huge focus on the technical aspects, and rightly so. You know, you want to make sure that you have your IP addresses configured, that you have your ports open, that you have your tenant configured correctly. You want to do that. But the challenge with this method is, as you can see, end user readiness and focus, that happens at some point after you get everything ready and you launch the product within your organization. And what we have seen is that the adoption trajectory is very flat. You get some people adopting it. You always will. But they're usually not pretty happy. They get frustrated. They don't know what to do. They don't know how the product's supposed to work or what's in it for them or even why they should be using it. They start to feel stupid and like they don't know how to do their job anymore. And we don't want our users to feel stupid. That's not why we're giving them these tools. We're giving them these tools so they could be more productive, so they could be the best version of themselves at work. So we've learned a couple things. We've come up with this ideal approach for deploying Skype for Business. And again, it absolutely starts out with that technical readiness. You have to get that piece down. You want to make sure that you have your ports open and your tenant correctly configured. But the change here is, in parallel, we start thinking about our end users. We start thinking about readiness and training and that narrative that we're going to tell our users. We want them along on this journey with us. We want to stop dictating to them what they're going to use and partner with them and invite them in to, hey, let's use this together. And when you do this, we see a change in that adoption curve. Right? We see it actually goes up. Users are happier, users feel like they're included, they're along for the ride, and they want to use the product. We start to create fans this way, right? And that gets us in the door. But how do you create that raving fan? Like Mike and I have talked about earlier, somebody who just can't live without the product. How do we do that? Let's take a little look at the definition of fan. So we know fan is short for fanatic. It's important to understand because fanatics, they're like these guys. Those are fanatics, right? These guys every Sunday and sometimes Monday and Thursday and Friday and there's football all the time. But these guys, they put on their jerseys, they grab their face paint, they get their favorite beer dispensing helmet and their foam finger and they go off to the game and they're crazy, right? They're raving fans for their team. This is what we want. Our good friends at Oxford Dictionary have told us that a fan is a person with excessive and single-minded zeal, like these guys. This is what we want our users to be like. Maybe not the face paint and the headwear. That's a little odd for work, but I think you get the gist of that. So let's take this into the organization. What does this actually mean for our users? Well, a raving fan of Skype for Business is someone who's proud of the product. They love to use it. They're proud of the fact that they get to use Skype for Business. They champion the product. We don't have to ask them to talk positively about it or to evangelize the product within their organization. They just go out and do it. They have an emotional connection to the product. The product has solved a need for them, a personal need, a business need, but we have done something right, and Skype for Business has filled a gap. And then finally, these are users who, as Mike mentioned earlier, can't live without Skype for Business. They've started to use it, they've seen how productive they can be, they've seen the benefits of it, and they can't even imagine a world where they can't IM for someone, or they can't just start a collaboration session with someone at the drop of a hat. So we have a customer. They're in healthcare. And part of the service that they offer is they have a group of nurses that visits patients around the local area. And one of these nurses, we'll call her Sally. She goes out and she visits her patients three times a week, I believe. She was out visiting one of these patients and she needed a consult. She saw something she wasn't sure of and she saw something that was a little concerning. So she called into the hospital to go talk to a specialist. Well, this is a nurse, and she got sent into the directory and got trapped in this circle. Couldn't connect to the right person. So she has other patients. So she took notes. She made sure that she could follow up with a specialist when she got back and call the patient. When she got back, she immediately went into action. No prodding at all. Right? She went out and she discovered, hey, there's a Skype for Business app for my mobile phone. She downloaded that, installed it, logged in, configured it, tested it out. And then the next time she was out visiting her patients and she needed a consult, she used Skype for Business to connect to the specialist to ask the question. She got right in. It's cool, but it doesn't end there, right? Like, that's a great story. But Sally went a step further. Again, no one had asked her to do this. She came back to the office. She's having lunch with her coworkers. And one of them was complaining about the same exact thing. I'm out all day. I need to contact somebody for a consult. And I can't get a hold of anybody. She showed this user how to download the mobile app, install it, log in, how to use it. So the next time they actually went out, this lady did the same thing. The whole team does this now. And it's all because Sally went that extra mile, because she got it. Skype for Business helped her. It helped her patient. There's an emotional connection right there. What was in it for her, right? Like, what did Sally get out of this? I mean, surely there had to be some sort of reward for Sally. I mean, who actually talks about the products and the tools that they use at work? We think about the what's in it for me, and it's not a bad thing. Our users want to know what's in it for them. You know, why should I use this? Why is this going to make me more productive? And we should absolutely answer those questions. But because Sally took the time to sit down and understand the technology, she was able to make faster decisions. You know, she was able to connect to people. She had confidence in the product. She has increased her skill. She understands the product in a whole different way now. She knows more scenarios all on her own because she's walked through them. And then, in a way, you know, she's more valuable to the company. She's an innovator. Again, on her own she did this. She's a thought leader within her little group. People actively seek her for ideas and thoughts and knowledge. Because she's seen as someone who just understands a product and gets it and knows how to apply that to patients, to everyday life. Sally's a fan. This is the raving fan that we talk about. Sally is a champion for Skype for Business. She's emotionally connected to Skype for Business. And this is what we want to facilitate in our organizations. This is the type of users we want to connect to, right? Raving fans. I'll keep saying it over and over. So how do we do that, right? Let's start talking about how we actually create these fans. What does this look like? Now think back, let's go all the way back to your first day. Do you guys remember your first day on the job? You're brand new tools, new people, new organizations, new personalities. I remember my first day at Microsoft. I didn't even know where the lunchroom was. It's a big campus. I had to find my way around, right? I felt like this. Like I had jumped out of the plane and the dude I was jumping with just let go. See ya. We don't want our users to feel this way. And a lot of the time, this is how they feel. When we roll out products and we don't think of the users, we don't blend the technology and the end user journey, they feel like this. So how do we stop that? Well, first impressions count. With users, their first experience with the product is huge. Okay? It's gonna get a little weird, I apologize, but think of your user's first experience like a first date. Okay? When you're starting a new relationship, just like you need to be for the person you're starting to date, Skype for Business needs to be available and reliable. If it doesn't work on day one, you've lost them. If you don't do the necessary diligence to ensure that your users are ready and that the product will work, you've lost them right out of the gate. Just like dating, bring them gifts. Now, you don't have to bring them flowers. Everybody likes flowers, but you don't have to. You know, but give them stuff. Run little incentive campaigns. Or just give them access to training. Give them access to resources to enable them to understand the product more. See, our job, and I truly believe this, our job is to help users be their best self and to do their best work. And that's why we roll out these tools. Yeah, there's an organizational directive to do so, but we want them to be their best at work. So, one last one before I start charging people for couples counseling, I apologize. The last thing, and it's really important, is be supportive. They've just jumped out of an airplane. They may not even have wanted to. Be supportive. Be there for your users. Answer questions. Make sure you have the right infrastructure set up to address concerns. Don't dismiss users when they're like, I don't know how to IM someone. It's a real challenge. It can be for someone who's never done it before. Skype for Business can be a scary experience for a user at first. It's a different way to communicate, and we need to remember that and help them out. So, how do we do that? I said a little earlier, let's give them access to stuff, right? So we have a Skype for Business adoption portal. It's a template. We make this available for you to download and deploy internally. Give them this portal. This portal is their one-stop shop for everything Skype for Business related. Customize it. That's what we want you to do. It's a template. We've added a couple cool things to it, but it's by no means exhaustive. Use this. Right out of the gate, we give access to video trainings and quick start guides. Make this your knowledge base. Point your users to this. So day one, they can go and they can see this and have that good first experience. Another resource we provide is called Quick Start Guides. Right? So Quick Start Guides, we used to ship, well, we did Quick Start Guides and we started shipping things called Job Aids, and we're standardizing back on the Quick Start Guides. Right? These are powerful. Print these out and put these on user workstations. You know, have the user, day one, when they come in, this is waiting for them at their desk. This one is specific to IM, right? And it's cool. When your user shows up for the first day and they log in and they get up and running and you say, hey, go contact Bob from accounting and ask him XYZ. And the user's like, who's Bob from accounting? Well, I don't understand how to show them this card. We show them how to find someone, you know? We show them how to put contacts in their contact list. After they find Bob, now they can pin him to their contact list. Maybe they can pin their entire team, so now they have a group of people that they know they can communicate with. Because when you install Skype for Business, there's no one in your contact list. So we want to show them, we want to lead them to water and help them take a drink. We show them things like, you know, how to view a contact card and what that information means. And then one of the coolest things is we demystify this thing we call presence. Because a user on their first day, when they come in and they log in, they're like, I'm purple. What does that even mean? How am I purple? How do I change it? What is that? Well, we tell them, turn off your oof. Your oof, don't know why, but your oof. So turn it off, man, and then you're good. You know, and then the last thing that this card shows, and I think it's a standard thing right now on the cards that we have, is we talk a little bit about Skype Consumer versus Skype for Business. Because a lot of our users have used Skype Consumer. and we differentiate between, like, so what do I use these two things for? Right? We call it out. Skype for Business, Bob from accounting. Skype Consumer, Grandma. We try to be as straightforward as we can, and we speak language that users understand. Right? These are all about the top 3-5 things your users need to know to get up in the product quickly. So this was the IM card, and if you look at this, we have other cards too. We have meetings. We have, is this gonna work? There we go. We have sharing and collaboration. We have audio. We have video, and we have dial-in conferencing. Those are the ones that we have today. We're investing and we're building out more of these. I'll talk about where you can get these at the end of this session, but also Thursday, we go a little bit deeper in this stuff, you know, and we talk more to this. One thing we've learned is that not everyone learns in the same way. You know, we live in a YouTube world these days, and some users don't like things printed and put in front of them. Tony Stark didn't like getting things handed to him. Users sometimes don't either, right? So give them video training. We have video training. They're small, consumable videos. They're about 3 minutes. We call them productivity training. It's scenario-based training, and it walks the user through in a very easy-to-consume, kind of snackable-sized video. These are great. We have people use these all the time. It's like quick start guides, you know? Like, this content that we have works, and people use this. I heard about this from one of our other customers. So they did something called a device bar. So keep in mind that with Skype for Business, we're replacing someone's phone, you know, the device that they've used for like 30 years. It's been an industry standard for as long as I can remember. And we're taking that away. Yeah, can everybody hear me okay? Yes and no, okay. Is that better? Cool, all right. So keep in mind, like, we're taking people's phones away. You know, people have used these for, like, I've used, well, the traditional phone, that is. People have used these for as long as I can remember, and we're taking that from the user, right? So the concept of a device bar is give your user some input into what you're replacing their phone with. Let them choose their own adventure here. Rent a conference room. Bring in a bunch of devices. I have heard, and you'll have to confirm this with different vendors, but I've heard that vendors like to participate in this, and they will actually bring in devices. And they will help you facilitate a device bar. You set up a bunch of laptops with Skype for Business or desktops with Skype for Business, and you plug in these devices, and you let your users make calls and test these out. And then they can pick which one that they like. Because users have different preferences. Users think about devices a little bit differently than we do. Users actually worry about their hair with devices, right? This guy has no hair, in case you guys didn't notice. Let's bring our users on this journey with us, right? Let's continue the conversation with them. Make sure that they feel like they're part of this. So we're creating fans, right? Everything we just showed you, it's gonna get users excited, it's gonna get users using the product. Skype for Business will start to become second nature for them, right? They'll actually use it. But we don't want that guy, we want this guy. We want the crazy people. They paint their face, they go to games, they run all over. They're raving fans. That's what we wanna create with Skype for Business. That's what we're after. So let me give you an example, right? We connect to users through emotional experiences. Skype for Business can give you an emotional connection to the product. My wife and I both work. We both work for Microsoft. We have 2 children. Our son Logan, he's 6. He plays soccer. Our daughter Vivian, she'll be 10 months old pretty soon here. She's in daycare, right? We both work. We value our jobs, we value our career, but we love our family, and there's nothing we wouldn't do for them. So Skype for Business enables me to stop choosing between work and my career and my family, right? Logan has soccer practice. And anyone with little kids know they schedule these things at the most convenient times. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? It's like everybody's off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, there's important meetings happening at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, meetings that I need to give input into. I'm a major stakeholder in a couple projects and I have to be there. So do I choose my career and make sure that I can provide for my family? Or do I choose my family and make sure that I'm there to love and support? What do I do? Well, with Skype for Business, I don't have to choose. I can do both. I have the mobile app. I join my meetings remotely. I can do it with voice. I can do the full collaboration experience. This is something we give to users today. Your users no longer have to make that tough decision of my career and provision or my family and love and caring. Logan doesn't even need to know that I'm on a meeting. I can be cheering him on and providing input in this meeting at the same time. And to do this, we call this out through something we call the Productivity Library. So up on the Fast Track Center, I think it's fasttrack.microsoft.com, we have a Productivity Library. It's new. It launched a couple months ago. And we talk through scenarios just like that. And we give your users ideas of how they can use Skype for Business in new and exciting ways. It's to spark ideas and innovation. It's not a prescriptive, this is how you do this. We want to inspire, and we want them to come up with ways to use the product. An example that comes out of this is those meetings that I go to, right? Sometimes I'm running them. I take notes and I send those out to the entire team. And even though I'm at Microsoft and everybody uses the same products, people tell me, they're like, you take great notes. How do I do that? What do I do? Well, I can point them back to this productivity library, right? And it has these scenarios. And I can tell them, look, in Skype for Business, we have OneNote integration. So I can have a shared notebook that lives up on SharePoint that everybody in my meeting has access to.
One, two.
And that notebook that I'm using, it has a list of your contacts, or excuse me, not contacts, but it has a list of the people who are actually joining the meeting with you, who attended. It has the notes that I'm taking during the meeting, and it even has any attachments that I've put up in the meeting or PowerPoint presentations that I've shared. It embeds those into that notebook. So now users just need to go to one place. If they don't get my meeting notes, or they didn't see the email, or they deleted it, they can go up to the SharePoint site, and they can look at this, and this is what they'll see. If I'm recording the session, there will be a link to where the recording lives. We share these scenarios in the productivity library to help make users more productive, to give them that emotional experience, to let them connect with the product. So let's recap just a little bit, right? So we've talked about giving them access to stuff, and we've talked about the quick start guides and the productivity library. We've talked about the product training and the different experiences that folks can have, but how do we get over the top? You know, we're just now starting to create raving fans. And raving fans is kind of like a fire, right? Once the fire is roaring, it's great. It's going to feed itself, but eventually it's going to run out of steam. How do we keep that going? Well, let's keep the conversation going in our Skype for Business community. So we just launched a new community. There's several of these. There's user communities, there's IT pro communities. My team, Mike and I, and Lori, who owns this, we will be making posts. We'll be talking about adoption, we'll be talking about different ways and resources that we have built for users to use. You know, go up, investigate, have your users sign up, connect with us. You know, let them. The people who are wearing the foam wedge of cheese on their head jump into a community with similar people, right? With the same type of people who are wearing the foam cheese or the cheese suit or the ties or the fez hats or the mustaches, whatever. Let them be around the same type of raving fans and build up their knowledge and build up the community. It's a great resource for users. It's a great resource for us as IT professionals. So join this. It's easy to join. You go sign up. Mike, myself, Lori, we're in this. We have other folks from Microsoft and the product group all around. They're in this as well, posting. We're listening. We're interacting. So make sure you sign up. So I'm almost done here, promise. So what did we talk about today, right? So adoption, it's not an afterthought, right? With a 70% failure rate, it can't be anymore. We have to plan for adoption just as we plan for our deployments and our technical readiness. We need to know and understand our users. We need to know what motivates them. We need to understand how they learn, and we need to help facilitate that. We want to make them raving fans. We just walked through a journey. Let's give them access to resources that are going to stoke that fire, that are going to make them raving fans and get them to start evangelize. Let them do our job of evangelizing so we can go do other stuff, deploy other products. And then we want to safeguard their journey, right? We don't just want to deploy this and let users go off and be on their way. We want to make sure they have a good experience and they continue to learn and they use the product. It's not enough to just deploy the product. We want people to use it and to understand it. So here's some adoption resources we have. The very first link we call out, or well, it's actually not. I didn't upload my updated slide. So we have a new, we call it the adoption content roadmap, or directory rather, excuse me. It just launched this morning. It's up at aka.ms/sfbrolloutkit. If you go there, we'll talk more about this on Thursday, but you go there and it's a list of all the approved adoption content that we recognize. Everything that will help you to create raving fans. So, thanks. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I'm gonna hand it back to Mike and Graham. And yeah, so thank you everyone.
All right, thanks a bunch.
Is this on?
Yeah, good. All right, thanks a bunch, Nick. We're gonna spend a little bit of time now with Graham Bent. Like I mentioned before, and while Graham's getting mic'd up, one quick delineation on sessions. I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not. So on Thursday at 10:45 a.m., we have a Skype for Business Revolutionize Adoption session, and that's where we'll go deeper into the specific framework and the resource materials that we're referencing today. We wanted to spend time up front, though, and talk about the end user journey first. So please, if you can, join us on Thursday as well. You'll get a bunch more details about the content directory that Nick mentioned, as well as all these resources that we mentioned here. So, Graham, welcome to the stage.
Hi, everyone. Testing, testing. Everyone hears me okay?
We loud enough?
Sounds
I think
bad.
So.
Loud cool. Enough I'm not deafening anyone? So, hi. Yeah, my name is Graham Bent. I work at Air Canada. I'm an IT Innovation Solutions Manager there. And I kind of wanted to take everyone through what we've been building together, because it's pretty exciting.
Cool. You want to start from the beginning?
Yeah, sure. So just to kind of get everyone in the shoes of where we were, just not so long ago, Air Canada didn't really have an official instant messaging solution, right? And that led to a few problems for us. And not just lacking the ability to chat with each other, we also lacked something as basic as a present system. And it's something we don't really think about too often, right? A present system. But you know, being able to see at a glance whether someone's online, away, busy, in a meeting, it kind of helps dictate the way we're going to communicate with that person, right? And when you don't have it, you kind of rely on what we found, at least in our company, email, right? So it leads to a real over-reliance and overabundance of email. I don't know if everyone here has ever gotten an email with just a subject line, nothing in the body, right? So, I mean, that could have been a text or an instant messaging solution, right? So we found we're getting a lot of emails. In addition, another problem was that you kind of run the risk of employees going off and, you know, starting to use their own third-party instant messaging solutions amongst their own teams. So you have maybe one team using Google Hangouts or something similar, and then maybe another team using Skype Consumer to chat amongst each other. And of course, they can't chat across, right? And in a similar vein, our meeting solutions were kind of all over the place as well. So especially as more and more free solutions, you know, came online, you have a similar problem with maybe the maintenance department using join.me and call center department using GoToMeeting, something like that. So we didn't have a cohesive instant messaging or, you know, solution really. So then along comes Link. Link was the predecessor to Skype for Business, of course. And we started to adopt Link during the Office 2010 lifecycle. And our team thought, you know, this is great. This is an awesome solution. It's integrated in Office, presence system, all that good stuff, meetings. This is perfect, right? And so we went around the business, our different business units, and kind of gave some workshops and, you know, just explained what it is, how to use it, and get your users using it, right? And that created, you know, circles of growth, but it never really translated to anything company-wide, right? We kind of hoped it would sort of gain popularity and take on a life of its own, but it kind of turns out, even if you install the product on someone's computer, if they don't know what it does, they're not going to click on it, right?
You're not alone, though. You fell into that 70% bucket, right? So, you know, that was about the time when we started getting together, right?
Yep.
A couple months ago and started, a couple months, maybe a little bit longer than that now, and started geeking out on adoption and your rollout. So
right.
Tell us a little bit more about how that came to life.
So, of course, Link 2010 turned to 2013, turned to Skype for Business. We didn't really see the growth. And that's when Microsoft did approach us with the Skype for Business Hero program idea. And right away, our team was a big fan of it, right? This Hero program, for those who don't know, is this collection of tools and ideas to help people or help a company gain adoption to the Skype for Business program in a way that makes employees want to use it, right? Or encourages them and recognizes them for doing so. And that really aligned with our team's philosophies, right? We want to delight our users, right? Again, we want them to want to use it and be recognized for doing so and really just have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to jump right in, kind of some of the tools and ideas that Microsoft came to us. And the first one is actually my favorite, the gamification system, right? So I'm a big fan of gamification personally. You're talking to a guy who played Halo and on the hardest difficulty just for that stupid achievement, right? So we started off with just three, the 3C. And we started off with the first achievement being pretty easy to get, right? Collaborate 5 times, send 5 messages. This kind of says most people that use Skype for Business more than once are going to get this achievement. And that introduces them to the program. It says, hey, congratulations. Welcome to the Skype for Business Hero program. Here's how you earn your next one. And the second achievement with the four unique activities kind of encourages the employee to explore the different options that Skype offers, right? So they don't just stick to the instant messaging. They actually learn, hey, this is a pretty cool program that's capable of doing a lot more. And then the third, which we made sort of difficult at first, is kind of rewards them with what we're calling Shine Points. So Shine Points is a collaboration between Air Canada and the Achievers program. And it's points that can be gathered and redeemed for a whole catalog of items that employees can, you know, get for themselves, right? So the third one, we actually reward them with Shine Points. So it kind of gives them a real world oomph, so to speak. So the next idea that the Skype for Business Hero program kind of brought forward is the idea of ambassadorship. So right off the bat with Link, we had a lot of employees kind of come to us. They were already fans of the product saying, you know, how do I get my colleagues online, right? I'm the only one online, and I want them all to use this product. I even had a director come to me and said, I want my team on Skype. What kind of documentation do you have? How do I get them on? So the ambassadorship program kind of gives these employees, these raving fans, a tool to help spread the word, so to speak, right? We evangelize. Really, at its core, it's a simple form. So the ambassador fills out the names of the employees that their fellow colleagues that they want to onboard, and it sends them a message saying, hey, so-and-so, this ambassador, thinks that you'd find Skype for Business helpful, right? Here's what it can do, here's where to get started, adoption portal, and earn some achievements while you go. And so in the back end, we look at which one of these employees start gaining badges. And then we reward the ambassador with some swag. So just little things like Skype for Business branded coffee mug, pens, good stuff like that, right? But it really helps make the ambassador feel like, you know, they're doing a good job.
You know, I think the cool thing about this too, Graham, was the it fit your culture,
yeah.
Right? You were really into promoting folks, experiment with the product, experience with the product, and then building up from there. And that was something that was exciting to see you guys, you know, tweet this. You know, oftentimes we work with certain organizations. They're really into the dashboards. They really want to, you know, pit their users against one another to see who's achieving more versus Sally or Jane. But that's not a one-size-fits-all. And so it was neat to see Air Canada make this fit the cultural norm, per se, in your organization.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. But kind of how do you communicate this to employees? Because
right,
it's great,
right.
You know, it's great to have all these things, but if employees don't know about it, you know, how do you communicate? How do you get them to use it? And so this is very subjective, right? So what works for Air Canada won't necessarily work for your own companies. Mm-hmm. But at Air Canada, we have our own internal employee newsletter. So we made sure that the Skype for Business Hero program was featured in that. We also make routine Yammer announcements every time someone earns a third level badge, right? We kind of say, hey, congratulations to so-and-so for, you know, earning the third level. They get some shine points for that. Are you interested in joining the program yourself? Here's a hyperlink to our adoption portal. One thing that, and feel free to disagree with me, but one thing that we decided against is lots of email blasts. Our team kind of felt that with lots of different emails being sent like every few days, you're kind of overloading and you're kind of making it seem like you're forcing them to use it, at least in our opinion. So we saved the email blast for major changes to the product or major updates to the product. So for example, Microsoft recently updated the Exchange Online portal to have a Skype for Business icon. We sent an email blast saying, hey, there's this new feature. Here's how you use it. Don't be afraid to click on it, right?
Yeah, very cool. And I loved how you leveraged the rest of the suite as well with Yammer, right?
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
So of course, the adoption portal. For Air Canada, we created it in a SharePoint Online site. And just to reiterate what Nick was saying about it, you know, we had our how-to guides there, lots of Office 365 videos to accompany these how-to guides, a feedback section so employees could let us know what's working for them and what could use some work on the site. Of course, the information on the badges system and the ambassadorship form was there as well. And in addition, the hyperlinks to the smartphone apps were there as well.
Right.
So we were definitely pushing the app. If I could give one piece of advice for the SharePoint Online site, as Nick was saying, actually keep it short. So if you have a how-to guide on how to start a Skype for Business meeting, you know, keep it short. This is how you do it. This is how you get started. And at the bottom, maybe say something like, hey, now that you know how to start a meeting, here's how you share your screen, right? And it takes them to the next short but sweet instructions. Right? And then we tried to keep a video along with every section as well that Microsoft has on both YouTube and, in our case, Office 365 video.
Cool.
So one particular page that I highly encourage everyone to have on that SharePoint Online adoption portal is a troubleshooting page. Because in my experience, at least, no matter how perfect you think a rollout is going, your users are going to run into problems, right? So in our case, we kept this troubleshooting page favorited, you know, ready to copy and paste to any user that had a problem. And we kind of, we had four fixes that we'd ask users to try one at a time. Simple, right? And it solves almost every Skype for Business issue that an employee could run into. So that way, if they do run into an issue, they don't just give up and go like, oh, this program's garbage, right?
Right,
and so importantly, after going through the troubleshooting steps, this is within the adoption portal. So after they get it working, they're right in they're right there with all the resources to get started.
Excellent.
Yeah. So one major challenge that Air Canada ran into when, even during Link, when we were creating this adoption portal, saying like, you know, how do you make Skype for Business relevant for so many diverse roles, right? The amount of features that Skype for Business has almost can work against it if you're promoting the wrong content. So if, let's say, a flight attendant finds out that this is a great meeting tool, well, you know, they don't go to meetings every day, right? They don't. That's not a day-to-day activity for them. So they may dismiss the product. So how do you, you know, present the content in a way that's meaningful to the employee? And so we kind of, you know, to start with tackling this issue, you know, we made the SharePoint Online site kind of generic, and that was to, you know, ran into a couple of problems with that. One, it's just not very much fun to look at a generic page. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, it was kind of filled with all these different images and information saying like, hey, do you have Skype for Business, you know, do you have Office Suite installed on your computer right now? If so, Skype for Business is installed. Just click start, all programs, whatever. Don't have Office Suite installed? Here's how you download the standalone client. Don't use a computer? Here's how you download the app. You know, and so all these different scenarios was confusing, and even I was confused looking at it, like, oh, if I didn't know what this program was, I wouldn't know where to start. So to help tackle this challenge, we created the concept of personas, right? And this really helped us to dynamically display the content. Because even if you start targeting information to different users, right? Like, okay, I think the flight attendants are gonna find the app most helpful, so I'm gonna send a targeted email. You still want to bring them back to the same adoption portal. Right. You can't have a different adoption portal for all these different roles. It's gonna be confusing, especially if someone shares the wrong adoption portal, the wrong employee, it's just a mess, right?
Right.
So we needed a way to dynamically display this information, and personas was it. So what is a persona? We kind of took a look at the different roles at Air Canada, right, and the many different features that Skype for Business offers, especially the app and the desktop client. And we kind of figured out, okay, which branches would find these different features useful and divided them into these so-called personas. So using some SharePoint Foo, we managed to create on our SharePoint Online site a main picture, right? And that picture would be dynamically displayed. And more important than the picture, when the user clicks on it, it takes them to a different introduction page, right? That's more for what we think would they find more useful. So importantly, we still keep them in that same environment, so if we get it wrong, right, they still have access to all this other resources,
right?
All these other resources, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna kind of go into a little bit of detail on how we created that. I'll try and keep it high level. And the purpose of showing it is not exactly so you guys can copy-paste it, right? But just to kind of maybe get your heads going and, you know, your brain spinning on maybe how you can adapt this to your own company. So behind the scenes, how did we build this persona dynamic system? Well, we created a picture library within the SharePoint Online site and populated it with the pictures that we wanted to show the users, right? All these different pictures, one with the desktop client, one with the smartphone app, stuff like that. And in this picture library, we created two custom fields. One of them being the URL that we wanted the picture to take the user, and the other one with the personas. What branches do we want to see this picture, right? So then on back to the main page, the home page of the adoption portal, the SharePoint Online site, we created a search result web part. And that's normally a tool used so that you know, the users of the SharePoint Online site can crawl content on the site or elsewhere. But we pre-populated the search field to say, hey, what's the person's office field? The person who's currently logged in? What's their branch? So we take that branch information, crawl the personas field in that picture library, and return that picture as a result. So using a simple display template, we just say, okay, so when they click on that picture, it takes them to where we want to go. So this whole concept of personas is really exciting to us because the next steps for Air Canada is to start collecting user stories. Find out how Skype for Business has helped our employees with their day-to-day. Really, you know, maybe find stories of how maybe Skype for Business helped a mechanic out of a jam, right? And we are able to promote those stories and target the users who will see those stories so that, you know, it's relevant to them. It's relevant to their own kind of role, their own persona. And there's some really simple display templates out there that you can make a rotating carousel. So you can have more than just that introductory picture. You can have a whole suite of content that's targeted to the users that you want to see.
And that's all driven through your central adoption site.
Exactly.
So like you said, there's one place for folks to go
to.
So it's
one place.
They know about it. And then this is also applicable to other features as well, right? So we were talking last night about some of your next opportunities with Office 365, right?
So definitely the, you know, all the things that we've learned about Skype for Business, we want to start applying them to maybe a new adoption strategy for OneDrive for Business. Right. So yeah, all these different Skype for Business hero concepts can all be applied to OneDrive.
Cool. So, yeah, no, Graham, don't sell yourself short on user stories. Let's take a look at what some of your ambassadors are saying about the product. And so that first quote is right along the lines. That's what we're trying to hit. We're converting folks over to raving fans so that they can then go and talk about it with others. And these folks are actually officially recognized within your ambassador program.
Absolutely.
They're getting the swag.
We gave them some swag.
But they're helping others. And that's the place where we want to land. And that's the whole point of why, you know, we invested so much time and effort into this.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Graham.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.